We are going to jump into the lesson. We started a couple minutes late here, and we have a lot in this lesson. We'll see how much we can get to. Continuing on in the family, we're finishing up. We'll probably be done in 2 weeks with the family, and we're still praying for sure about what we're going to do, but it looks like we're going to do a series on ministry and doing ministry work. And so we'll be in Ephesians 5 this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, the familiar passage. Building a foundation, the family and the firm foundation. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. And we'll start at verse 25 today. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 32, this is a great mystery I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, so let every one of you in so particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I want to talk about godly attitudes at home. Godly attitudes at home. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we are thankful for the chance to learn this, Lord, and I thank you for the word of God, Lord, the instruction we have. And what a great bunch of illustrations you give us of how we are supposed to relate to you and understand you and be with you and have a family, Father. And I pray that your Spirit, please help us to have these godly characteristics in our homes. We'd understand also through these relationships, our relationship with you, and through our relationship with you, understand how our relationship should be on earth. We pray that your Spirit would please help us to grasp these truths and fix anything that maybe we need to fix, Father, in our homes. Please let thy Spirit rule and speak now in Jesus' name. Amen. notice the parallels here in this passage between us and our families. And there's a whole bunch of them. For example, the husband is supposed to love the wife like Christ loved the church. It's the same type of love and gave himself for it. Christ gave himself for us. A husband should give himself for the wife. And that means that it's not all about you, husbands. Though she's supposed to submit, you give yourself for her also. And so it illustrates that we are supposed to love our wives like Christ loved us, the church, and that's the way he has that kind of love. And then husbands are supposed to be the head of the family as God is the head of the church. Verse 23: For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. So we see that to understand a wife's submission to her husband, we understand a church's submission to Christ. And so these things are the same. And I think one of the reasons God gave the family is because it would show us how he relates to us. And he made these and it's hard to grasp how God formed things before things are familiar to us. We see the family as it is, and we see how a man relates to a woman and a child relates to a parent. But God, I think, formed the family and made us wired the way we were so we could also understand the spiritual truths of how he feels toward us, how we should feel toward him, the relationship between us and the Lord, that these are parallel, and so we can relate. How am I supposed to feel toward God? Well, let me think. This is how God says a family is supposed to be. How's the wife supposed to relate to the husband? Well, let me show you. This is how the church is supposed to relate to Christ. And how is the husband supposed to relate to the wife? And all these relationships, how does a father treat a child? Well, look at how your father treats you. All these things teach us. They're the same relationships. And so it keeps saying, even as wives, even as the church is subject to Christ. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Children, and so it goes to all these different relationships, and you kind of understand that these attitudes and these relationships are the same, in the spiritual realm as the family is. And so the biggest way God relates to us in the Bible, certainly all over the New Testament, is as a father. And all over Matthew 6, your father knows you have need of these things. John 1, to as many as received him, to them give you power to become the sons of God. Romans 8, but we have received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Father, Abba, Father. And then children as heirs, joint heirs with Christ. And so we see all these teachings. So we understand, what's our relationship with God supposed to be? Where much of idolatry and much of religion has these strange relationships between man and God, this throwing your child into a volcano and all these different crazy things they have of relationships. God says, think of me as your heavenly Father. Think of me as the one who loves you, who provides for you, who cares for you. Think of me as a father who also disciplines. And so we see these all over the Bible. And so this teaches us a ton. This teaches us all about prayer. Let's look at Matthew 7. And we'll be back there. Don't take your finger out of Ephesians 5, but Matthew 7. Just to show you one illustration of this, how God's going to help you understand this. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. It says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things them that ask him? So God says, hey, don't you like giving your kids good things? And don't you want to give good gifts to your children? And before that, if your son asked bread, would you give him a stone? Would you do that to your kids? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him? In other words, God wants to give you good things. But if you understand how a parent wants to be good to their child, then you understand how God wants to be good to you. Okay? And so these are attitudes that God has that we now as a father or as a husband need to say, okay, how should I feel toward my family? And we will understand that and through these attitudes that God has and that he shows us. So some thoughts on this. Number one, the right kind of family helps us understand our relationship with the Lord. And for reference, I have these verses here. Verse 7, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and him that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man of you whom if his son asks bread will give him a stone, or if he asks him a fish, he will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father? And so we see that. We are the children of God, the Bible says. Let's go across the page, Matthew chapter 6, and look what the relationship we have there. How God thinks of us and providing for us. Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your Father, your heavenly Father, feedeth them. Are not ye much better than they? Okay? He says, you know, you're a child to God. And God takes care of the animals, but you're his children. If he takes care of the animals, why wouldn't he take care of you? So I learn in faith. Let's take this one thing. I learn in faith that God thinks of me as his child and he wants to take care of me. Okay? I have my children. Okay? I don't want my kids stressed out going, what am I going to do, Dad? How are we going to eat this month? It's kind of an insult to me if they're like that. If they're all stressed out and worried about how we're going to pay for our mortgage or whatever, then I'm going to say, no, relax. I got it covered, okay? We'll take care of it. And that's what we have credit cards for. I would want them to rest that Dad can take care of them. So then I understand my relationship with my Father. Matthew 6 is all about not being stressed about your finances. Why? You have a Father who can take care of things. Okay? And so so I know I am, God wants me to trust him. And he said, just seek my kingdom first and I'll add everything you need to you. 6:33. And so it's a relaxing in your Father being able to take care of you. That's the attitude that we're supposed to have. So it helps us understand. The right kind of family helps us understand our relationship with the Lord. That includes our children. Our children will understand what kind of relationship they're supposed to have with the Lord by their relationships with us. And the good thing God did, the great thing God did, is he made the family kind of universal, and that even an unsaved person can grow up in a family and have the right kind of relationship with their family so they can understand the Lord. Now, let me explain what I mean by that, because every family's not like that. But so we are this church full of immigrants, and we're in an area full of immigrants, and we're in the homes full of immigrants. I want you to understand, the families of the immigrants are better than the American family. Okay? They're tighter. They have more respect for dad. Mom treats dad with respect. And it's not always right, and it's not always, there's families where the husband beats the wife and the whatever. There's all kinds of messed up things in families. But generally, there's this kind of family structure where normal, and America's corrupted it. Television's corrupted it. American family was good, you know, 50, you know, years ago, where dad was respectful and mom was respectful and the kids were honoring and all those things. All these attitudes that are supposed to be there, even among unsaved people, they weren't Christians, okay? And it's like that in much of the world, okay? And so... as a matter of fact, that's one reason immigrant families are drawn to our church, because we have the kind of respect for authority and the family structure. We believe in it like they believe, though they're not saved, because it's kind of normal that to not have this kind of sassy, disrespectful kids and husband and wives who are separated and aren't close and all the crazy things we have. And so here's our problem. We have now. Our problem now is the American family is so skewed that people don't know the attitudes they're supposed to have. And what I mean by that is dad abandoned them. Okay? And they're supposed to, and they come and they keep on thinking that God didn't love me anymore and God's left me. Why? Because their dad wasn't stable. And they're supposed to kind of understand what Heavenly Father's like, but understand what fathers are like, but their dad was a bum. And so they have problems. Okay? And so they have these issues. Okay? And that's why God says, I become the father to the fatherless. So in my case, my dad abandoned me, and so I didn't have that, but very quickly God came to my side and said, let me show you what a stable, and he gave me extra grace, and so I don't struggle with that at all. But because God came to me and did that for me, because I needed that. That's why God becomes, he gives grace and becomes a father to the fatherless. And if there's a mess up, God will come to you and give you grace to help you understand these things. But it's supposed to be taught by the parents. You're supposed to understand these things. That's why a parent who violates a child, the child, very hard time to recover the rest of their life. Many times in marital counseling, I'll just keep on seeing the same problem come back up, and I'll just stop and I'll say, what was your mom like? Oh, my mom is this. And so we have to go and stop and say, you know, we need to rebuild your conception of motherhood. We need to rebuild your conception. Let me stop. You're thinking of your husband like your abandoned father did, like you think your abandoned father. And wait, stop. We need to stop this, because we got our attitudes all wrong, and we're all messed up in our families. And so we've got to get that right. We have to understand all the different aspects. Our children from us should learn about the spiritual life with God. Let's just get ourselves in trouble early here. How about we learn that God's the provider of our lives? From dad. Not the church, the bride. That's good, isn't it? Amen. And so we learn these attitudes. So the Bible says, man provideth not for his own. Okay? And we learn these things. We learn these lessons. We learn how God loving... I don't want to get at myself. Let me go through my points, otherwise I'll get too far ahead. Number two, the right kind of family also shows others what the Christian life is like. The right kind of family also shows others what the Christian life is like. For example, how does God show what it's like to return to Him prodigal son? What's the father like? Open arms. So the unsaved or the people in the world or people like that, they look at our families, or they if they don't have the right kind of family, but they look at our homes and say that. And so when we say, this is the way God is, they can say, you know, that's kind of how your family does it. That's kind of neat. I like that. Because they, our family is going to show people the way God is. Their family might not anymore. With our divorce rates, with all the problems and troubles and the family troubles and all kinds of protection orders, all the messes of family. I won't, but if I ask how many of you grew up in a good, stable home with a good, solid mom and dad that were respectful, I wouldn't have a quarter of you raise your hand. Okay? It's a mess. And so we have to show people just how good the family can be and just how good the relationship with God is. I'm so glad that so many of the people who aren't married like being around my family and just like watching our family and coming by. And so why? Because I remember just being newly saved and going to my pastor's home and just watching how his family works. That sure seems right. Sure seems the way it should be. And it teaches a lot of the spiritual things about those things. Number three, our family life affects areas outside the family. Our family life affects areas outside the family. Let's go back to Ephesians. If you think that, people do this, and no family is certainly perfect, and every family has problems sometimes, but some people act like, I mean, and I'll tell you this, sometimes pastor's families. I have had to help with this. I've had to deal with it. They think, well, my family is just a bunch of jerks and I treat them like this and we don't get along. That's fine. But you know what? My rest of my life is, you know, better. It bleeds in. It's supposed to, actually. And it affects the rest of your life. For example, how children treat their parents. Ephesians 6, children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So the first commandment in the Bible that gives you a promise with it is honor your father and mother. The Ten Commandments. What's a promise? That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long in the earth. So it says, if you obey your parents, it goes well with you. If you honor them, and you live long upon the earth. So we see your life length is affected by your home life. And how it goes with you is determined by how you treat your parents. So if you think you can just be a punk at home and then God's going to bless you in the rest of your life, you have no conception. It's all related. Okay? It's all, God says, how you work at home, and of course the pastor, it says, he that ruleth not his own house, well, how can he rule the church of God? How can I be in charge of the church if I can't run my family? And how can I run a church? And so these, certainly for a pastor, it's very clear in 1 Timothy 3 and such, but we see every Christian, how they are at home affects the rest of their life. Don't think you can be nasty and a bad Christian at home and come to church and be a good Christian, do ministry work and love the Lord and be, it doesn't, the first place is home. You start at home. The home is where it begins. Don't be a good Christian at church and a bad Christian at home. I'd rather you be a good Christian at home and a good Christian at church. You thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? But you got to be good at home because it affects the rest of your life. Look at First Peter. First Peter, it affects the rest of your life. You need to realize that how you act at home affects the rest of the areas of your life. First Peter, let me see here, chapter 3 and verse 7. Likewise, ye husband, dwell with them, your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I have no idea why someone would try to do ministry work and not be good in a family, when the Bible says your prayers are hindered. Nasty husband, nasty wife, bad prayers, unanswered prayers. So the family, they're fighting all the time. They scream and yell at each other all the way to church, and they can't stand each other. They don't like each other, and they pull into church, and they just get done, and they get in the car, and then somebody walks up and says, "God bless you, brother. How you doing?" I understand you have one bad morning, but if that's your life, your prayers are hindered. God's not answering your prayers. It is part of the spiritual life. It's part of your, it affects your life outside. Don't expect to be wrong at home and be right in other places. It affects you and affects God's blessing on you. And so it's all attached. Number four, godly attitude should be on display in our homes. Let me show you the godly attitudes. That's what I want to really focus on today, is really displaying the godly attitudes. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Let's go back there. There's a lot of them. Remember, and we won't go back to where we just read. Notice it said, husbands, giving honor unto your wives. Okay? So first of all, let's talk about submission and serving each other. Ephesians 5 and verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So, there is a submission to each other. I think that someone should look at our family, and our children should look at our home, and our husbands and wives should look at each other and see a submissive spirit. Now, I know the world doesn't teach that, but the Bible says the greatest among you is servant. Okay? And giving in. I had to recently just sit down with my family and explain to them. I fear I've gone a little too far in this thing. I just give in too much, and I'm afraid that sometimes you guys don't obey because I'm fine, I don't want to fight, and I just, you know, it's easy, and sometimes you just go ahead and don't listen to me because I don't want to make a big deal out of things. I said, I think I've done that too much, and too often you just kind of continue what you're doing, and you think I'm suggesting things, okay? I want them to learn that I am not this domineering dictator. Now, I'm in charge of my home. I'm the head of the house, the Bible says. But I'm not a dictator. If my wife doesn't obey me, you know what I do? Take her over my... No, I don't do anything. I say, well, I guess I'm not a good enough leader. No, we never really had that. She's great. She's a wonderful wife. Better wife than I'm a husband. Now, my kid's a little different story. Wife's an adult. Kids aren't. But I want to be the kind of person they want to follow and they trust my judgments. When I say do this, they're saying not, that's stupid, but they're saying the dad says it's probably a pretty good idea. And so we want to have submission in the home. We want to learn to teach our family to submit to God. Submit therefore, God resists the devil and he will flee from you. A submissive attitude in our home where people are saying, oh, I'll do that. I'll get that for you. You know, I understand we have roles, I understand we have responsibilities, and I think that's healthy. I think it's good. I think that if people have their own realms and their own roles, they're able to know what job they're supposed to do, and the clarity helps a lot. But, you know, it's not a sin to go help somebody with something you don't have to do. Amen, preacher. And just because you're not your job to vacuum doesn't mean that, you know, if you vacuum, the earth is going to open up and swallow you up. Okay? It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that if you cooked a meal for them just because they're tired, doesn't mean that you're sinning against God. Tomorrow morning, I'll cook breakfast to the whole family. Every Monday morning, I cook a Monday breakfast, you call it. And I cook Monday breakfast to the whole family, and I cook a big fancy meal. It's fancy. I just don't know if it's any good. But I cook it, and I send up burnt offerings to the Lord to start off our week. I do that every week, and I don't have to do that. I can say, honey, get up Monday morning, cook breakfast. But I want to be a blessing, okay? We want to submit to each other. Submission's a wonderful characteristic. When you're strong enough to bring yourself under control and serve other people, It's very difficult. It's not weakness. Submission isn't weakness. Trust me. Someone like me, it's way easier to rebel than submit. It takes me a lot more strength to say, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, or whatever. It takes me a lot more strength. But that strength of submission, I've got to get myself under control and be able to submit myself so I can serve God. And that attitude of, yes, sir, I'm glad to, can I help? That attitude, it kind of becomes a thing you have to God. And people learn how you willingly obey God and you do that. And so submission and serving each other, I think it should be on display in our homes. Secondly, unconditional giving of yourself love. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Gave himself for it. It's that unconditional love. It's the love of Christ. It's a different kind of love. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, she is just this, and she doesn't do this, and if she was a good wife, I'd do this. Is that what God did to you? Did God only decide to love you when you were a good person, or did he love you when you didn't even know about him? When I come to a family and a husband says, my wife is not, you know, she's not with us, she doesn't want to serve the Lord, and she's not for this stuff, and I've told her, and I've told her this, and I told her that, I say, don't tell her anymore. Love her. Don't lecture about what she's not. Don't do that right now. Love her unconditionally. As the Bible says in Song of Solomon, I think, I've drawn them with cords of love. See, we are attracted. We love him because he first loved us. And when we display in our homes the unconditional love of God, when your kid isn't obedient, you act like you don't want them and you don't like them and you don't love them, you're messing up because God doesn't do that. Now, God disciplines. We understand that. But you're trying to display the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Okay? You're teaching them what God is like. Yes, God disciplines, but he does that. So it's an unconditional giving love. Oh, how the kids can learn about God's love. How often do I have to preach on God's unconditional love? Because we have so many people who've been wounded by their parents or wounded by someone who should have taught them how God loves. Now, we can't really illustrate just how much God loves. We understand that. But you know what? We can show them a good picture of it. And because the parents don't have that, the parents still got something, they're not going to hug their kid because they're still so angry at them, and their kid is still irritating. Their kid's still, they that attitude. And then the kid is like, I don't think God really loves me. He gave his son to be tortured on a cross for you. He loves you unconditionally. But no, he can't love me because you don't know the way I am. There's a wound there from somewhere. Stop it. I know you're your dad or mom. I know. But God's love is unconditional. And so we've got to display that to people. We should. Our neighbors should say, wow, that family loves each other. Maybe they would understand the love of God. Isn't it strange? They say, you Christians are all just about what's wrong and God judgment. I wonder if they would say that if they saw us hugging and loving each other and talking about how insane I love you and all those things. I think it should display the love of God. Next, what should our attitudes in our homes display? Next, oneness. Oneness. Verse 30, for we are members of his body and his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and they shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church. God says there's a oneness in the home, and a oneness in a relationship with him, and a oneness between the husband and the wife, and a oneness between the Christ and the church. Do you show oneness as a family, or do you have different people going different directions doing their own thing? It's very important. What is your family trying to do right now? Where is your family going? Not, I'm doing this and he's doing this and we got our own things, we got our own lives. I understand you have your own parts of life and you have your own hobbies and stuff like that. I didn't expect my wife to golf with me or anything like that. And you know, my wife, my family, they try to learn football and things like that, but you know, to them it looks like a pile of people who just go in a big pile and sit there in a pile and get back up and go in a pile again. I mean, and so but you know, there's those little things we have our own areas. I'm not going to take up knitting anytime soon, or sewing or something, but how about, where's this family going? What are we trying to do right now? Our family is buried in reaching Muslims. We're working the same bus route, all of us are. Okay? Where are you going to go? What are you trying to do? What is your... Have a oneness to your family. Don't do this... You know, there's this thing in your dining room. And if you do it right, you can sit around it and you all put food in your mouth together. It's called a kitchen table. Okay? What's that? We eat at the coffee table in front of the TV. Okay? In your own little worlds. It's okay for the family to eat together, to play a game together, to be one. And by the way, don't have TVs all over your house. If you're going to have a television, have a television. You don't have to have a television, by the way. Really? I thought we had to have one. But if you're going to have one, have one. Well, I've already got four. Awesome. You're ready for Giving Sunday. Because there's this thing called Craigslist. And you're going to get rid of three of them. Because you're going to be together. And you're going to be a family. And that's why it's a oneness. It's a team. Family's a team. Next, what is what attitude should we show? This is the biggest one we got to hit. This is the biggest problem we have. Reverence. Ephesians 5, verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, we got that, even as Christ loved the church, and the wife, see that she reverence her husband. This is a word we do not like. Most churches, I mean this, most churches in America, if I preach on reverence, they would say that's not biblical. You're not supposed to be like reverence, you know, it's because they have a rock concert in church. What do you expect? They don't know anything about reverence. Reverence is a, I like watching the sign language back here. He's back here going like this. And reverence is a good Bible word, Old and New Testament. And okay, we're supposed to have reverence for God. You're supposed to have reverence for dad and husband. The word reverence is a word that means awe, fear, revere. Look at Hebrews 12. This is one of the biggest problems we have in the home. Verse 28. It says, wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved, Hebrews 12, 28, which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So we'll see a reverence, okay? A reverence. A reverence for dad. Let me tell you. There's a bunch of reasons for, there is this irreverence toward dad. And the kids get it from mom most of the time. And it is sinful and wicked and a disaster because it gets put up to God. I believe that most of the lack of fear of God, which is biblical in the New Testament, that we don't have, is because they never learned to respect the dad. Why don't we respect dads? Well, in some cases, because the dad makes it very difficult to respect him. That's part of it. But I want to say it's much more deep than that. I listen to people, take Brother House. Brother House, dad was an alcoholic and beat up his mom and all these things. And he still, back in that generation, talked with his dad. He wanted to love and respect his dad. It's kind of a natural thing. The problem, and here's the biggest thing, is called television. Television, every show is anti-authority. Every dad is an idiot that gets mocked all the time. That's every show. Find me the show where the dad is respectful and everybody looks up to him. And it's always, oh, dad, duh. That's the whole tenor of television. And so we learn. And moms mock their husband in front of their kids. I see it in our church. An irreverence for the office of husband. Okay? You treat them because of their position. Paul says, I magnify mine office. Okay? Now, I understand he might not be the greatest guy in the entire world. He's still a husband and a dad. And by the way, if you get to have children and you're not married, you mess up the whole system. Okay, it's all messed up. You're all out of kilter. But when I say, you've got to, don't ever let your kids disrespect your dad. Okay? And it's more, don't do it to mom either, but it's more important to the dad. I'm just telling you, if a woman will make sure that he is respected and honored, she will get the same thing. It'll be an attitude. But it starts with him. And you've got anything, you tell your kids, he might be a drinker, he might not do everything he should do, but you tell your kids, look, your dad goes to work every day. Find any way you can to respect him. By the way, you'll reach him if you do that. But you've got to have a reverence. Don't slap you. Oh, honey, that's so stupid. Don't do that. Reverence. It's the same word in Hebrews 12 as it is in Ephesians 5 for revering God. Now you say, it doesn't seem right, it doesn't feel right, because you're Americanized. But biblically, it's right. Okay? Reverence. And by the way, let's just go the other way with reverence. A woman's body should be reverenced and very sacred. Boys should learn you take care of girls. That's why you never hit your wife. That's why you never threaten her. You teach and you protect girls. And you know, it's a good thing when boys think a woman is a sacred thing that needs taken care of. Those are all good things. And so there's a reverence in your home. By the way, I think there's a reverence for children. Jesus treated children, hey, let them come to me. And he took them on his lap and said, learn from them. Humans are sacred things. And so have a reverence in your home. Have a sacred house. Next. I don't have time for it all. Let's look at... let's go ahead and look at Ephesians 6 again. How we doing? Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Again, we're displaying attitudes that are biblical attitudes. By the way, when you do these things in your family, you do it towards God. You learn how to do it towards God. You learn how to have respect. You learn how to have honor. You learn how to do these things. Next, obedience. Ephesians 6, 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. An attitude of obedience, like John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said, I am going to obey my Father. Watch how he taught us this. Look at John chapter 8. He said it many times out loud, I'm here to obey my Father. He was the creator of the universe. He said, let me teach you obedience, the Bible said. Jesus taught us to be an obedient person. He was an example of it. John 8:49, we'll get to this in just a sec. This next point, I have not a devil, but honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. Jesus over and over showed how he's obedient. He got baptized to fulfill all righteousness, to be an example to us, and obedience. Just have a life that just shows obedience. You obey. You know what? You obey the police officer, Dad, and you obey your boss, and you'll teach your kids obedience. You have a home of obedience. You obey your authorities. Everybody obeys authorities. Everybody obeys other people. They all learn to say, yes, sir. And it's an attitude that goes up to God. Yes, sir, when God speaks. And by the way, rebellion is learned, and it goes to God eventually. Got a chip on your shoulder against authority. Your kids will have it against you, and eventually you all have it against God. Because it's learned. Next, honoring. Ephesians 6:2, honor thy father and mother. It's like honoring God. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord of the first fruits of all thy substance. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Honor, when you learn to honor people, when children honor their parents. How about, you want to teach them something? Teach them to honor older people. The Bible talks about standing in the presence of the older people. Teach them to respect the elderly. You're teaching them to have respect and honor. And then they'll learn that God is worthy of honor And how would I do that thing? I have learned to honor God. I would not dishonor God in that way, because they've learned you don't dishonor people who deserve honor. So it's an attitude learned, and have that. Hebrews chapter 12, I'm flying so I can finish up here. We're learning these attitudes. We're having the attitudes permeate our homes so that we can apply them to the spiritual life. So people will see it. We're practicing on men, so we'll do it right with God. Hebrews 12 and verse 6. I want to talk about discipline in love. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. What's it say there? Whom God loves, he disciplines. Listen, if you do not discipline your kids, they will not understand God. Please get that. They will go out in life and do wrong things and say, why is God punishing me? What? Why? You're doing wrong. But they think discipline is this angry, blowing your top, I don't love you anymore thing. They think God doesn't love them, or they think that they don't understand that God is doing it because he loves them, because their parents never showed God's kind of discipline. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Anybody doesn't get discipline, you're not a child of God, it says. So then, they can't handle the discipline of God when God says, hey, you're doing wrong, let me bring you back. And whatever, all of a sudden they have a problem in life, or their job goes bad, or they feel convicted, or something bad happens in their life, and God says, spank. And they don't know how to react because they never learned discipline and love. By the way, if you blow your top and just beat them, which is wrong also, and you're not disciplined in love, you're disciplined in anger, then you will teach your kids that God isn't doing this because he loves them. He's doing it because he's mad and just lost his temper. And that's unhealthy too. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Why? He chasteneth us to bring him back to him. Nobody at the time likes chastening, but it brings forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You teach them that discipline is going to make you better. And you're doing this because you love them. Not because you want to tell them off. Not because you got to express yourself. Not because you don't like them. Not because you just scream and yell. Good parenting never just screams and yells and lectures. It disciplines. And it instructs and corrects. Abuse kids often have a problem with God's love being unconditional and with having discipline. You know what people who grew up with the right kind of parents, or that they learned from God directly, you know, because he was the father of the fatherless, you know what they say when God disciplines them? Boy, the Lord did that for me. I'm sure glad God did that. I was kind of straying. Man, I needed that. God put me, straightened me out. They have a positive attitude towards the discipline of God because their parents lovingly disciplined them to straighten them out. And they say, I needed that. How many of you, every once in a while, God kind of gives you a swat upside the backside and you said, I needed that, God? How many sometimes you get that from God? I know I do. Sometimes you're just kind of messing around and not taking things seriously. And God, that's good. You have the right attitude. But abused children, they don't understand how God can love them and have consequences for them. And they struggle with that. And they have to be explained very carefully. Hey, God is not doing this because he hates you. God's doing this because he loves you. Those are the attitudes that we teach in life. We get these things from God. And so we permeate these in our homes. So we have a lot of people to show what God's love is like. They didn't learn it in their home. So we've got to display that kind of love. Having a godly attitude at homes shines the way God feels and the way God works and the way we work toward God. It is not separate. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. Help us understand how important these attitudes are in the home. Help us not expect your blessing if we're not doing right at home. Help us to have these love and honoring and obedience and kindness and discipline and all the things we should have in a home. I pray that you'd help us to do so. And thank you for your word that teaches us these things. Thank you, Lord, for giving us family to enjoy, but also to learn from. How much we can learn from it, Lord. Help us to realize these things and grasp these things and have the kind of homes that teach us these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed till church in 10 minutes.